The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Simon Harris, the tarnisher, took to Twitter, or X, and he posted this. I am shocked and appalled at reports that the IDF, that's the Israeli Defence Forces, fired shots in the vicinity of a visit to Jenin today by a group of diplomats, including two Irish diplomats based in Ramallah. Fortunately, no one was hurt. This is completely unacceptable and I condemn it in the strongest terms. Hannah McCarthy, the journalist, is with me now. Hannah, what do we know about this?
Sure. So today there was basically a combination of a diplomatic visit and a press visit to Jenin. And basically a large group of EU diplomats, including Irish diplomats, was brought to one of the entrances of Jenin refugee camp, which is part of Jenin city. It's not full of tents, it's full of kind of buildings. But basically since January, this camp has been completely emptied of all its residents. So I was there, I was actually at the spot that is featuring in the videos that are being shared online now, where the delegation is shot at about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And basically what's happened is all the entrances to the camps have either got these big mounds of mud on them so that people can't go through them, or they've put these kind of military style yellow gates on the entrances. So that's one of the entrances that this delegation visited. So when I was there, I was warned to not go near this gate. I was told I was likely to be shot at or beaten if I went nearby. This is what the locals told me. And we saw that play out today, where we saw, for example, a cameraman trying to take a kind of video, make a video report near the entrance. And there was kind of shots fired. And we see kind of diplomats kind of running very chaotically towards their cars.
How febrile is the atmosphere in that part of the world? There's so much focus on Gaza, understandably, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Francis Black, the independent senator, is with me. Slightly less focus on what's happening in the West Bank. I mean, can you understand, having been there, how this happened? Not to justify it for a moment, but, you know, is that just the nature of the atmosphere there at the moment?
Well, I mean, this camp has been emptied for 4 months. There's about 20,000 people that have not been allowed home. They're living with family members. They're living in hotels. They're living in schools. They're living in pretty terrible conditions. Jenin camp was already, it's both a center of, Palestinian resistance. There were some armed groups there, but I mean, the camp has been emptied. There is no one there. And what's happening is buildings there are being bulldozed in order to make these wide roads so that Israeli vehicles can go through the camp. There's watchtowers being installed. There's cameras being installed. So, I mean, it's extremely intense, but this is in the middle of a Palestinian city. So when the IDF says that this delegation, made an unauthorized detour, they're saying they took an unauthorized detour in a Palestinian city, which is supposed to be part of, Area A, which is supposed to be under Palestinian control. The Palestinian Authority is supposed to be there. So, I mean, the idea that they would need authority from the IDF to move in there is a real breach of just the whole idea of the Oslo Accords.
Yeah, I mean, a cynic listening to this would suggest that what they were really doing was trying to divert prying eyes away from the fact that they are annexing territory.
Yes, and it's not a massive secret. I mean, they have kind of got a map and people understand, I spoke to residents there and, a lot of them are aware, some of their houses have already been destroyed and some of them are very aware that their houses have been marked for demolition. So that's all happening, over the next, has been happening and is ongoing. So, I mean, and people have been told, they can't return to their homes. They have their passports there. They have birth certs. They have, family artifacts, and they've been told they can't go back there.
And you would have been a kind of part of these delegations before, Hannah, and will be again. Is it the nature of them that the IDF or other authorities, the Palestinian Authority or whoever it happens to be, would be told who is going to be in the area and why, particularly where there are diplomats?
Yeah, and I mean, the whole idea of these delegations is that there's safety in numbers. So, there's always, there's almost always press with these delegations. And the idea is that, the diplomats go, they see for themselves what's happening. And it gives a bit of cover for journalists who might face risks going to some of these areas. So when I drove by that area, I did not get out of the car. And my Palestinian driver was again, quite concerned. I took a photo from a car of that exit or the entrance that is at the site of this shooting today. because it was so tense. And, you know, the buildings, it kind of looks, it's hard to actually understand what's happening, I think, if you're not familiar. But all the buildings behind there in those scenes have been emptied. No one has been allowed back in. So it's just very tense. And these delegations, they're supposed to be give kind of security. There's supposed to be security in numbers. And all these diplomats would have their own security staff. They'd have armored vehicles. So, I mean, it's a quite a blatant attack.
Anna, listen, thanks a million for talking us through all of that. Frances Black is with us, the independent senator as well. Frances, I want to talk to you about the occupied territories bill in Gaza in a moment. But on one level, I mean, it speaks to the impunity with which the IDF feel they can operate, that, you know, they know full well there are diplomats in this travelling delegation and they'll take pot shots at them.
Absolutely, Ciarán. I mean, here we have a situation where, again, the Israeli army's actions constitute a grave violation of international law and an absolutely unacceptable attempt to, you know, to terrorize representatives of the international foreign and Arab countries where, you know, these diplomats participated, including two Irish, two of our own people who were on that delegation. And, you know, I think this incident reveals the suffering of the people of Jenin and its camp and at the hands of the occupation. Again, Israel are breaking international law. They've assassinated dozens of Palestinian civilians in Jenin, and they've destroyed thousands of homes and practiced ethnic cleansing against the residents of Jenin camp and the Tulkarm and Nur Champ refugee camps also. So it's absolutely outrageous. And they're acting, I mean, the world is watching this. I'm every day, I am becoming so shocked. And I mean, it's beyond belief, Ciarán. It's like watching a horror movie that's happening in front of our own eyes. The world is watching and there's no actions being taken. And that's why we need the Occupied Territories Bill. It's okay. So important.
Well, let's talk about that then, because, I mean, at one point a few weeks ago, it maybe looked like the government were long fingering it. They're making more sounds now about it becoming reality. The Taoiseach suggesting as much in the last day or so. What's your feeling about when that might happen and how robust the bill will actually be?
So I met with the Taoiseach a couple of weeks back to discuss this bill, and I made two things very clear. First, that the government have made a promise to the Irish people before the election, and it's now time to deliver on it. And look, we see the genocide happening on a daily basis in Gaza, where children are being killed. We saw 14,000 children have, you know, we're going to die of starvation in the next few hours, you know, in the next 24 hours. And we just can't have any more delays. And we need to see this legislation moved in the Dáil urgently before the summer recess. And I also said that the quickest way to do that, to do what the International Court of Justice has said is required, is to pass the bill, the Occupied Territories Bill, which is only one more stage left. However, whether it's my bill or a new government bill, I don't mind. It doesn't really matter. My fear, I suppose, is that there will be legal changes made to this bill. Now, the legal changes that I agreed to before the election, I had agreed to, and those legal changes were fine. But what really matters now is the policy. And my concern, Ciarán, is that we have to have a full ban on all trade with the illegal Israeli settlement on both physical and services. And that's what the ICJ has said, and that's what we're obliged to do. Now, what the Taoiseach reiterated to me, he reiterated to me the promise that he and the government have made that they will do this, but my job now is to keep the pressure on to make sure that they deliver on both goods and services. And
I was just going to say, like, you know, this onslaught on Gaza has been ongoing for over a year and a half now. And for a long time, you know, there seemed to be a marked reluctance from some jurisdictions and some countries to weigh in too vocally on the Palestinian side. And I just wonder, as somebody who's so engaged with it and has been for so long, way before October 7th and everything else, do you get a sense that the wind has kind of slightly changed in direction? You know, I just thought it was kind of interesting. The Israeli government effectively accusing France, Canada and the UK of being anti-Semitic yesterday. Yeah. And even their own opposition party, they accused of anti-Semitism.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, they're getting away with it. That's the reality. They can do what they like. You know, they can do absolutely what they like. They're acting, you know, they're...
But do you have any optimism that they might not be getting away with it for much longer?
Well,
that there is a bit of change?
Yeah, there's definitely a shift, right? 17 countries now have called for a review of the EU-Israel Association Agreement. So that's really good. I mean, it would have been great. I know that Ireland a year ago tried to do that, and unfortunately none of the other countries, only Spain came forward. So at least now we have 17 countries, and that's really positive. There's definitely a shift. I was in Brussels last week, and I had meetings, back-to-back meetings every day for three solid days, and I do feel there's a shift. I just wish it was sooner, Ciarán. I'm just concerned. Like, how many? I suppose my concern is that it's a review where it should. I mean, how long is that going to take? Mm. We need the EU trade agreement suspended immediately, and that's what I would like to see. But look, I've no doubt about it. It is, you know, I know there's a little bit of a positivity there. But look, I mean, and I know that, you know, Ireland are in the EU, when they go to the EU, they are looked upon as probably one of the only, Ireland and Spain are the only countries that are really taking action on this. But it's not enough. No more condemnation. We absolutely need real action. And the real action is the Occupied Territories Bill to ban illegal. We need to ban goods from the illegal settlements, but we need goods and services. And that's absolutely vital. And I think that's the challenge I'm going to have going forward over the next few months.
Independent Senator Frances Black. Frances, thank you so much for speaking to us. Hannah McCarthy as well, the journalist who had that update on the situation in Jenin.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.